Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking with Meredith about the importance of wearing proper workout attire. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to do this, Meredith?
I'm ready.
All right. We'll see you guys on the inside. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on the Senior Fitness Podcast with Meredith. We've got a fun topic today. We're going to be talking about wearing the proper workout attire when you exercise. We get a lot of questions about that, and we can't wait to jump into that. So we appreciate you folks tuning in this week for this podcast. But before we dive into that, we just want to send out a friendly reminder to don't forget to swing by our website, seniorfitnesswithmeredith.com. Check out all of our latest and greatest content we have there, including our exercise videos, growing library of exercise videos every week. Of course, all of our podcasts and much, much more. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, which we send out once a week. And we love staying in touch with you. So thanks for checking those things out. So today's topic, we're diving into the importance of workout attire. And Meredith, I'll let you expand on all of that. But, you know, again, where did this topic come from? Because we always love knowing where that comes from. And I'm sure the people out there listening want to know.
Always come from interesting places.
Yeah. Where'd we get this from?
We were at the gym recently, and I just was watching an individual who was a couple of times I saw this person, and they came in, and they get on the treadmill and just walk, which is great, but wearing jeans and like a polo shirt. And I thought, which again, they aren't doing anything crazy strenuous, probably middle of the day, their break that they get, smart for them to jump on the treadmill and walk. But then I thought, you know, we should talk about the importance of the clothing that you wear and the footwear that you wear when you work out. Because I have lots of other different stories I'll bring up, but this is what made me say we should talk about this. Seeing someone wearing jeans, basically doing a workout.
Right. Yeah, you just feel for them because you're like, why does that
doesn't
feel
even
like?
Sound?
Doesn't even sound like anything you want to do. As always, we like to check in with your experience you've had in working with many clients over the years, all ages, of course. What kind of workout attire did you see out there? And did you hear feedback? And did they talk about it, you know, when you would work in a lot of these different situations?
Actually, yeah. So lots of different feedback or lots of different things that I would see. So a lot of times, if it was an early class, many people would come dressed like they were about to go out somewhere. And a lot of times that's what it was. They were like, I did my one shower of the day, which was in the morning, and I got ready. And then I'm going to go off and do my day after today's workout. So taking that shower for many, many people or bath is not the easiest task as we get older. So it was like, I did it because that's when I can do it first thing in the morning. And that's when I have time to do it. So it's done. And I know it's done. So now I'm just wearing my regular clothes, which could be some people would come in jeans. Jeans aren't the most comfortable attire, though. So many people I worked with didn't wear jeans at all, but would come dressed like they were going to go out after that, whether it be the grocery store or walk around and have lunch or whatever it is. They were dressed to the nines. I've had people come in kitten heels to do a workout. This was a lady who was amazing. She was 98 and she would walk around in kitten heels and cheetah prints. And, you know, I would make sure she stayed seated during the workouts because it made me quite nervous. But I'm sure she had lots of ability and would have been fine. But just for my own sake of not getting too nervous and only watching her. But I've seen that. I've also heard feedback of, let's say even Aquasize. I would teach that and I would tell people that were in other classes, you should try Aquasize. It's really great for ABC. And and be like, yeah, well, I have a really hard time putting a bathing suit on. It's very difficult. Like the actual putting it on for a female can be difficult as you age.
Right, right.
So I would say just put on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt and a sports bra. Then that leads to the next thing. Sports bras can be very difficult for senior females to put on if you have any shoulder mobility issues. You may be able to get that thing on, but it's not coming off if you can't lift your arms up and around the certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes into this whole, I think we may have brought this up in another podcast a long time ago, how different there should be so much more, I believe, attire out there that is geared towards this for seniors who have mobility issues or who don't want to create a mobility issue. Many a times I've done certain movements, putting certain clothing items on, and I go, uh-oh, I hope I didn't just pull something.
Right, right.
And that only gets worse as you age or if you already have an issue. So, I mean, quite the spectrum, right? I mean, people would come dressed to the nines, basically, or I would get the other side, which was the feedback of, I can't put on certain clothing because it's very difficult. Even spandex type, tighter fitting clothing. If you have really bad arthritis in your hands or neuropathy in your hands and you can't feel much, it's very difficult to grip a fabric and pull it onto your body. All sounds maybe crazy to someone who can't fathom that, but it's reality. So, mm-hmm. So those are many of the different things that I've seen and heard.
Yeah, that's very, across the board of
right.
What people wear. So where do you think people get their ideas of what is proper attire? You know, because we're different. A lot of people wear the same thing.
Right.
You know, proper shoes, shorts, or you know,
right.
workout pants.
Yeah.
But like, where does this come from? Where do we, how do we see ourselves when we say, I'm going to exercise?
I know.
So different.
That's a great question because you see so many different clothing outfit things. I don't know how you'd want to put it. Active wear that people will wear coming into group classes or when you see them out on a walk or in a gym, things mm-hmm. like that. It's like they have a visual of what when I work out, this is what I should wear. And a lot of times I bet it comes down to comfort, what they've worn for years and years, what they can find at the store at a good price point for them. Maybe what people have recommended to them, pictures, of course, and what we see on TV. I think about back in the 80s when everybody wore unitards and, mm-hmm. you know, tights and stuff like Jane Fonda. You don't see people walking around in that anymore. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. That would not be fun for me. But it's just, I think, like what's out there. And what we think we should be wearing. And then, of course, what we can put on and what's comfortable for us.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, comfortability is super key.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. I know my mom in the past used to say she didn't like a lot of the spandex type clothing that they had. So the shorts, the pants, etc., because they felt too tight. She didn't like that restrictive feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So she would look for looser, but that same material, which we'll get into materials, but mm-hmm. that same type of material, which wasn't easy. She's very small, though, so it was easier for her than most people. But it wasn't easy for her to find where they weren't huge in the waist, but they weren't, you know, they weren't falling down, but they still fit properly, but weren't tight on the legs. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to be comfortable. Otherwise, you don't want to really move in it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to wear it. It's just regular clothes too, right? I mean, it's the same thing. If you don't feel comfortable in it, you're not going to wear it. Same thing with your active wear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like with exercise wear, being active, you can kind of go two ways with it. And maybe you see it differently. You either like loose fitted clothing.
Right.
Or it's like tighter fitting clothing to, you know, to contract muscles, to compression type stuff.
Right, right.
You know, and is there a difference? Is there one better than the other, or does it make a difference?
I think I wouldn't say there's one better than the other. The material is what's going to be the main factor in that. So if you're wearing a lot of cotton and you're sweating a lot, cotton is not a moisture wicking material. So it's going to keep you feeling wet, and it doesn't dry quickly either. So you'll stay damp for most of the time. And if it's loose to start with, as it gets wet, it will get bigger. So a lot of times, you know, people don't necessarily want that look. But it mainly comes down to, of course, it stays wet. And then if you're in an environment where it's cool, that's not good for you. Mm-hmm. But it's not heat wicking as well. So if you're in a hot environment, it's not going to help with heat at all either. So cotton is not your friend as far as working out is concerned. It's not the best material. Mm-hmm. So you want to look for more synthetic blends. So polyesters are the best, and then they can weave them in different ways. So they call them dry fit or cool max. You'll see that on lots of different labels now. And that mainly means that it's a quick drying material. It's moisture wicking, so it pulls the moisture away from your body. Mm-hmm. And then as it pulls it away, then it'll dry faster, even if it's loose fitting. So not saying it has to be super tight in order for it to pull moisture away. Of course, wherever it's going to touch the body, it's going to pull that moisture off your body and then dry faster. so yeah, getting those kind of synthetic materials, polyesters, a blend, even adding cotton, because I know a lot of people still, cotton is what they really, really like, but making sure it's blended with the synthetic is going to be the best for working out attire, both for shirts, pants, and socks as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't even think about that. But we wear these 100% cotton socks and then wonder why we get blisters or our feet hurt or they smell, or we need materials that also are helping with the moisture and drying quicker, that type of thing. So that will help with performance of things with your feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of things to take into consideration when you're looking for new exercise attire or whatnot.
Right.
So, and then obviously there's, we talked about this before, but some things to consider when you're looking into buying new shoes.
Yes, yeah.
We definitely covered this, but, you know, what are some basic general things to think about when you're talking about footwear?
So being mindful that they do wear out. I think there's so many people that want to keep the same pair of shoes for so long because they're just used to them. They've worn them in, quote unquote. But your feet start to hurt, or maybe your knees or hips start to hurt. You start to maybe plantar fasciitis has come up, or your ankle's not feeling great, or you're finding other issues are going on. It could come down to simply your footwear. It's time to get a new pair. So for runners, they say 300 to 500 miles. And for a runner, that's not a lot. It sounds like an amazing amount, right? But for a runner, it's not. But someone who's having impact and going on walks daily, doing even inside workouts, constantly pounding on their feet, stepping, marching, seated or standing, you're putting pressure onto that sole of the shoe. So it's slowly reducing the padding that's in there. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure we're changing them out. We also need to really make sure they fit properly. Sounds like a given, right? But the number of people I have seen wearing shoes that are way too big and you can see their foot slightly slipping in the back on the heel area has always amazed me, because I would always have to say something.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And it wasn't because they weren't tied properly. It was because they, I like them a little bit big. I'm like, no.
Right, a little dangerous.
That's quite dangerous, exactly. And the same goes for if your shoes are too tight and restrictive. That's not good for your foot because your feet expand as you work out. Every step you take, your foot opens up and expands. So they say you're supposed to go, usually, depending on the brand, a half size up when you purchase workout shoes, exercise shoes, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Making sure that they're not too tight and restrictive is very important, again, because that can lead to different issues with the feet and all the way up the legs into the back. Mm-hmm. So wearing the proper shoes. Again, kitten heels aren't the best thing to wear. Sandals and open-toed shoes, which many of times I got those, are not the best thing. If you're going into an environment, if you are in your home, I will do a little side note. If you are in your home and you're doing a certain workout where you're not using equipment, nothing is around you that you're going to stub your toe, you're just doing a nice stretch or maybe one of the bar Pilates type classes, then going without shoes because there's not a lot of impact on your feet, that's perfectly fine. Again, I wouldn't put sandals on or kitten heels even for those types of workouts, because we don't need any fall or trip hazards, but, wearing the proper shoes size, making sure they're not too big, they're not too small, mm-hmm. And that you're wearing the proper shoes in general and you're changing them out. Very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And you get a lot of questions on the shoes that you wear your videos and exercise videos. A lot of people are interested in the shoes you wear.
I know. And I wear a lot of slip-ons, but they slip on, but they fit really well. So you have to make sure. I know a slip-on is so convenient. And a lot of times as we get older, a lot easier. We don't have to worry about tying shoelaces for dexterity reasons, etc. And it looks better than a Velcro shoe for some people. But making sure if you do get a slip-on shoe that it fits you properly. It's not tight in the front of the foot, but it's tight enough around the ankle part of the foot so you know your foot's not slipping up and down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, I do wear a lot, and we get a lot of comments, which is always fun that people are looking at my different shoes.
Yeah, definitely. So let's do this. What would be your best recommendations or attire for exercise clothes for, say, older men?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure that people want to hear what your recommendations are for older women.
Yes. So older men, I would say, of course, a nice workout short that's of a polyester, again, material would be nice. A lot of times they have those, and I don't know if a lot of older men would get on board with this, but it is nice to wear those almost bike short type undergarments with them. So you feel a little bit more pulled in areas, which mm-hmm. is important when you're doing certain types of movements and workouts. So that would be good for the bottom part. And a top part, I know a lot of men like to just put on their basic extra, extra large t-shirt in cotton. But if you could get, again, a synthetic or synthetic blend type top and something that's not super loose. So you don't worry about maybe getting stuck on a piece of equipment as you turn around it, or that it's not restrictive and in the way. A lot of times I see these shirts that look just so big and it just looks like it's going to get in the way if you were doing certain things. So something a little bit tighter, but of course not body tight.
Right.
So not too loose. And something that will, again, be moisture wicking and keep you cool and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we'll go down the shoes and socks. So making sure your socks are good, your shoes fit properly. All right.
Right.
Women, Very similar, but a lot of times women have a lot of different choices, from pants to shorts to three-quarter capris. So whatever you like, but making sure it's, again, that polyester. It doesn't have to be super tight if that's restrictive for you or you don't like that feeling, but nothing too baggy or too loose. Again, mainly because so it doesn't get in the way while you're doing things. And same thing with the top. If you're comfortable with wearing tank tops, a lot of older females that I've spoken with don't like showing off the tops of their arms, unfortunately. Then wearing a short sleeve shirt, but of that material that's going to moisture wick and keep you cool and dry. If you can stay cooler and drier throughout your workout, especially as a female, you will end up working out longer. Mm-hmm. If we get overheated, it's very easy to do for males and females, but especially females at certain ages, you will have a tendency to stop because it gets very, very uncomfortable. So making sure you're wearing the proper garments is going to help. Undergarments as well. So for a female, something that's going to, like I said, for males, kind of hold you in and make you feel a little more secure. And then going down to shoes and socks, same thing. Moisture wicking those socks and shoes that fit you properly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And aren't worn out.
Right.
Hair pulled up if properly, if possible.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, a lot of women have longer hair. I mean,
right.
You recommend them putting up in a ponytail, tying it back.
I do, because it keeps the neck cooler and drier, and again, will make you want to work out longer if you're not overheating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely goes along with it. Mm-hmm. And it takes time to kind of figure out what works for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to spend a lot of money on a lot of clothes trying out everything. I mean, it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You're not going to find the perfect clothes, like top to bottom, right away.
Yeah, because some things you think it looks like, or it looks like a synthetic, and you get it and you try it. And I've been guilty of this. I get it. It's a great price point, and I wear it during a workout and it's not doing anything. It's not pulling any moisture from my body or anything. And I basically know that it's something I'm going to have to get rid of because I wasn't comfortable in it. It wasn't good. But it wasn't a moisture wicking fabric. It just because it's polyester, it has to be woven. So you have to look for that terminology. Moisture wicking, cool max, dry fit, all of those.
Right.
Looking for those, that verbiage on the tag, and it will say it and show it because it's marketing towards someone who's working out and wants that type of material.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So when someone's going out to buy exercise outfits, I mean, how much should you buy to start off with?
Depends on how much you work out.
Depends on how much you work out. That's a good answer.
And how much you like to do laundry. Yeah. I think that if you sweat a lot when you work out, it's nice to wear different things each day. But if you do laundry every other day, you'd only need a couple outfits. The undergarments, of course, being the most important to make sure those are being washed. And it mainly, I mean, if you're doing workouts in your home and you don't mind a smell or anything, then it's perfectly fine. But it mainly comes down to, I mean, they start to smell after a while due to sweating in them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes materials, the longer we let them sit with that smell, that won't come out when we try and wash it over and over again. So being mindful that we're washing those materials often. A couple different options that you can switch between. And that will help you decide if those are what you really like. And then when you know that, and you want different options, different colors, different styles, what have you, then you can get more as time goes by. But in the beginning, if you're just starting out with buying workout clothing, just start with a couple things and try them out first, and then expand your wardrobe from there.
Right, right. You don't want to go overboard right away and
right.
spend all this money.
Yeah, and it
and
shouldn't
then you
cost
realize
a lot of money.
You don't like it or don't want to wear it,
right.
or you don't need it.
The most expensive part of the outfit should be the shoes, because you should be buying something that, if you're able to, going somewhere where they can size your foot, Each time you buy them, and you're buying a brand that's known and that's made for the different type of workout that you're doing. I mean, if you're running, that's different than playing tennis. That's different than just walking. So different shoes for different types of workouts and your intensity level, let's call it. So, yeah, making sure you're getting fitted yearly. They say your foot can change each year. So being mindful of that as well, just because you're an eight today doesn't mean you're going to be an eight next year.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's all things to consider. Let's talk about brands. And I know you're not a big fan of talking about brands, but yeah. You know, I think a lot of people want to know what what brands you trust, put it that way.
Ooh,
as far as, you know, over time and things you've heard about your own experiences, I think people want to know, like, at least get your input on what brands you trust and put out good stuff.
I know. I will say, I as far as clothing is concerned, I really like a lot of Nike's clothing, and that's because of the longevity. I have some pieces that are still in my wardrobe that are older than my oldest child, and she is 20 at the time of us recording this. So that's old. The elastic hasn't worn out yet. Some things that I'll buy, cheaper versions from, you know, different stores, the elastic wears out in 2 years and you go to put it on and it's all, you know, misshapen and stuff.
Yeah.
So I will say I've had a lot of luck with Nike as far as clothing is concerned. Not to diss them in any way, because their shoes can be wonderful, but they're hit or miss for me because, depending on a high arch, a low arch, a flat foot, etc., their shoes are made very differently. So I have a lot of Nike, those slip-on shoes. Those tend to be my favorite because they don't have a lot of sole to them. If they have a lot of sole, like a lot of their running shoes, I can't wear because they are too tight on my foot. And I don't have a wide foot, so those aren't the best for me. I do buy a lot of off-brand type things for clothing, say since we're saying names, from Target. Their line is pretty good with their shorts and their tops that I've gotten. So yeah, I guess I don't have a lot of, and Ryka, that's a couple of my slip-on shoes that a lot of people really like every time I wear. So I'll give them a shout out. New Balance has been really good when it comes to my walking shoes. Because they fit just right, and they're a great company because they have some stores that do actual sizing and people that you can go in there and talk with them from flat feet, neuropathy, lots of different foot ailments. I'm sure if you're a podiatrist, if you go to one, you'd be sent to a store like that. So, and New Balance is a great brand for that type of thing. So that's a couple that I've worn. When it comes to working out, those are some brands.
it's good you know, to know at least which brands you trust, because there's so many brands out there. And there's so many options to choose from. I mean, it can be overwhelming. You're like, I'm buying these shoes or these workout pants, and you don't know if they're gonna, you know, be good for you and last as long as you'd like them to last. So
And we invest a lot of money. I don't think it should cost an arm and a leg for your workout clothing. But if you want something to last, paying a little bit more isn't the worst thing. But don't get caught up in the brand. Make sure it's a fit for you. I think a lot of companies out there, that's all about the look and getting their name across, whether it be with younger people or older people. It becomes a brand and not something that can help you with your workout. And you need to look at your clothing as helping you with your workout in many, many ways. And clothing and footwear especially.
Right. Yeah. Right, right. Great, great segment. Great way to end it. And hopefully this podcast has been helpful to you if you're looking into new exercise attire, and or you just kind of want to freshen up your wardrobe a little bit. You know, that works too.
That's fun.
That's always fun. But yeah, hopefully these tips have kind of helped you out, or someone you know, And we want you to feel good when you exercise, so that'll keep you exercising well into the future.
Yes.
Feel good about it. So, well, thanks for joining us on this episode. Don't forget to swing by our website, seniorfitnesswithmeredith.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Get our latest and greatest content delivered to you every week. And until the next episode, we'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.